In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery. With a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Comment and a rating. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, we want to thank you for representing our largest audience. Also, you can find my co-hosts on social media, Reggie.Wright.Jr. on Instagram, and he's also has his own show, Bomb First, every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on YouTube. And Big James McDonald is found on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. And you could also cop those amazing T-shirts. He has other colors out now. One way to get in touch with him is 909-864-04, and you'll have your shirts within 1 to 2 days. And you can find me on all social media platforms at AlexAlonso101. I'm mostly on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And thanks again for listening to another episode. This is episode 25. I also want to let you guys know that there's video content of our episodes available to watch, just portions of it, on YouTube. And the platform there is Digital Soapbox Network. And you can check us all out there every week.
And please go subscribe to that channel. We're trying to get those numbers up.
Yeah, definitely subscribe to the Digital Soapbox Network on YouTube. And we will soon have an update on our live show. It won't be on September 26th, but it should be real soon, hopefully. And we'll be finding a location in the Los Angeles area. So just stay tuned for that. Be a little patient with us for that. But we're definitely going to bring that to you. And we'll have all that information on www.thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com. And we appreciate your patience. Now, just a quick fact check from last week. I mentioned the three victims, the first Blood, first Compton Piru, and the first L.A. Crip killed. The dates on those was Fred Garrett from Brim was June 5th, 72. Clifford Ray Johnson from Eastside Piru was February 10th, 73. And Craig Craddock, Eastside Crip, was October 5th, 1972. And what I found interesting about all three of those first victims is that it all occurred within an 8-month period when gunplay really started to take off in Los Angeles during that time. And I just found that interesting. Within 8 months, the first Crip, the first Blood, the first Piru were killed, according to the research that I've done. And I haven't found nothing that predates these guys. And 72 was also the year that the West Side Crips stomped to death Robert Ballou at the Palladium. That was March of 72 for leather coats. So something was really going on in 72, early 73, that got it cracking on the streets of Los Angeles, Compton, and Watts.
Identity. All those guys was trying to get these guys as a whole, but then you couldn't get them as a whole, so they all broke apart. Now you got these cats around the corner fighting with each other. It was pretty much like the mob in Looters Park. It was all Looters Park, and then something happened, and you just break off. So, that right there is just a cycle.
And I want to add that Clifford Ray Johnson was killed by stabbing. Robert Ballou was actually killed by blunt force injury. And Fred and Craig were shot by firearm. Another thing from last week, I wanted to try to correct the timeline and the cost of the acquisitions of the Death Row catalog. According to Reggie, Wide Awake paid $36
million.
Or $26 million in 2009. Most of the published reports say $18 million, so there might be a discrepancy there. But that was in January of 2009 when I guess they called her a soccer mom that was running Wide Awake, purchased one of the most probably famous music catalogs in the history of the earth.
Yeah, she was just like a front person for some investors from Canada.
But then 4 years later, Wide Awake is claiming bankruptcy, or they filed some sort of bankruptcy, and E1 takes over that amount. According to what I found online, $280 million, but Reggie, you say it was $18
million. $18 million was the purchase price.
Okay, that's a really cheap price for E1 to pay, but hey, if they got it for $18, man, they got a steal because they was able to package that with all their other assets and sell that to Hasbro for $4 billion in August of 2019.
Wow.
So there's the timeline. What do you think the Death Row catalog was worth out of that $4
billion? Wow. Well, it still worked. You know, once they get all the legal issues resolved, that's why you notice is not everything is available on download, mainly Dre stuff, The Chronic, and stuff like that. But once they get The Chronic, Doggy Style, Murder Was the Case, not even out yet, Tupac stuff, once they get all the lawsuits and those issues are resolved, It'll be able to generate.
So do you think if Suge still had his hands on Death Row, and with all his music and all that, you think Suge could have got $1 billion?
No.
Couldn't have sold Death Row right now today for $1 billion himself.
No. Not even 50 to 100 million. No. Unless he had other artists going
on. Not even 50 to 100 million. Why you say that?
Does not generate that type of money. With all the downloads and everything, it's probably generating about $5 million a year.
I think Death Row would have been bigger right now than when it started. I think it would have.
If he would have kept going and working and had new artists and all of that.
Yeah, that was my question.
Oh, okay. If you do that, but
and he decided to sell, you think Death Row would have been worth $1 billion?
If he would have got somebody new, that you know, if he would have got the Kendrick Lamars or the Game and all of them and was able to put it out, you know, if he was popping the days like he was in 1995, then possible. But TDE not even worth that right now, and he has some of the biggest West Coast artists out in the game.
But a lot of the money that you get from acquiring a catalog comes in licensing, and some of these songs will be licensed forever. You know, they're going to be licensing Pac songs, Dre songs off of The Chronic, yeah. Snoop stuff is going to be licensed. I think it's all about how you set that
you
business up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Suge knows that licensing game great, but the licensing is more valuable as the songs become older and older.
Yeah.
Commercials, movies.
Yeah.
That could easily generate.
Would you think $1 billion?
Well, I don't know if a billion, but I think you can generate $10-15 million a year, $20 million a year.
So let's just say LT Hutton paid $750,000 to put Tupac, the music to All Eyes on Me and the Tupac. So y'all come down to reality.
Well, how many seconds did he use of the song?
He used a whole movie worth. The movie was built around mainly on All Eyes on Me.
Yeah, but the song, it goes by how much coverage the song has in the movie.
The only where the music's going to be played is in movies now. You may get a couple of commercials. You may get some downloads. They got downloads. It's not making that type of money for them. The Tupac estate is not making, sitting on all that type of money like y'all think. Because they're in partners with them.
There's other ways that you can make money off of that they're not doing.
Then what?
For example, every restaurant, every business, every elevator plays music. That's all licensed. When you walk into McDonald's or Subway's or Chipotle and you hear that music playing, they're paying tens of thousands a year to license that music.
ASCAP and BMI. That's where they're getting their money from. Unless there's a private company that's doing that. But is this all about downloads? Is this downloads?
Yeah.
From licensing?
All right, let's get into... I can't wait for the day for this to... We talk about this. This 6ix9ine cat.
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yes.
Well, before we get into it, let's play a little audio that we came across. This is kind of out there on the YouTube world now. But let's just play this and this so we can hear, so the people that don't know who Tekashi 6ix9ine is... y'all can hear about him, and then we'll go into what we have to say. Even though I got to put a disclaimer out there, because I talk so bad about the South, I'm sticking my nose in East Coast business, but I'll walk a thin line on that.
We're not so much going to talk about East Coast business, but we're going to talk about what happens when you're involved in a situation that Tekashi 6ix9ine is involved in. It could be anyone. It could be a L.A.,
okay.
Compton.
I'll just walk a thin line. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth by talking about Bootsy, so. We'll see what's up.
All right, let's play that clip.
This is East Coast business.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
All right, let's listen to the clip and let's see what we got.
E-A-N-I-E-L space H-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z.
All right, good afternoon. I'll ask you to keep your voice up and speak slowly and distinctly for the benefit of everybody in the large courtroom. Counsel, you may inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez, how old are you?
23.
You're older. You go by any other names?
Yes.
What are those?
Takashi 6ix9ine, Pix. Yeah.
Mr. Hernandez, where were you born?
Bushwick, Brooklyn.
How far did you go in school?
About the 10th, 11th grade or so, like that.
What? Mr. Hernandez, are you currently in federal custody?
Whoa. Yes, sir.
Approximately when did you start living in federal custody?
November 18, 2018.
What were you arrested for?
Racketeering charges, violent crimes, shootings, drug distribution.
At some point, did you decide to cooperate with the government?
Yes.
When did that happen?
A day after, November 19th, the day after we was taken down.
In connection with your cooperation, have you pleaded guilty to certain crimes?
Yes.
What crimes did you plead guilty to?
I believe it was 9 counts of racketeering, shootings, and drug distribution.
And you listed racketeering as one of the crimes to which you pleaded guilty. Were you a member of any gang?
Yes, sir.
What was the name of the gang that you were a member of?
The Non-Trade Bloods. Non-Trade Blood.
Approximately when did you become a member?
Around November of 2017.
What sorts of things did 9 Trey members do?
I'm sorry?
What sorts of things did 9 Trey members do?
We participated in a lot of, violent crimes, robberies, assaults, drugs, sorts of that nature.
Mr. Hernandez, do you recognize anyone in the courtroom who was a member of 9 Trey when you were a member?
Yes.
Who do you recognize? And if you can identify that person, you identify where they're sitting in an article of clothing that person may be wearing?
Hobb, Anthony Ellison, has a gray suit on. Nuke Ajumai Mack has the brown suit on with the white thing on his head.
Your Honor, may the record reflect that the witnesses identified Mr. Mack and Mr. Ellison?
Yes, the record reflects that Mr. Hernandez in sequence identified Mr. Ellison and then Mr. Mack.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Hernandez, we'll turn back to 9 Trey in a minute. Before we do, I'd like to ask you some questions about your life before 9 Trey. Where'd you grow up?
I was raised and lived in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Where'd you go to school?
For elementary, I went to PS 59. For middle school, I went to Juan Morel Campos. for elementary, I went to PS 59. Middle school, Juan Morel Campos, and high school, for the time being, went to Legacy High School. Legacy High School.
Did you work?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I started working at the, I want to say the age of 13. My first job was at the Greenpoint Youth Court. It's a job that handles like misdemeanor cases for youth, where the youth acts in like a bailiff, judge, jury, youth advocate, community advocate type of thing. I did that about for 2 months.
Mr. Hernandez, I'm going to cut you off. I think you are speaking so close to the mic that you're blurring some of your words. Maybe move back a tiny bit to the mic and keep your voice up and keep speaking slowly. Thank you.
So I did that for about a year. I didn't make a lot of money doing that, so I started working with my brother, busting tables. I did that for about a year and a half. Then I did a job at a grocery store named State Fresh and Grill where I worked as a delivery boy. I did that about for 2 years. I worked up to register. Shortly after that, I landed another busboy job. And then after that, became a rapper.
So you said that you started a music career, is that right?
Yes.
Approximately when did that happen?
I'd say around 2014.
And how did it come about?
Well, at the store I was working in, Stay Fresh and Grill. There was a guy under the name Peter Rogers, always coming there by a tea and like a tilapia, some peanuts, stuff like that. He asked me if I made music and if I rapped. And I was like, no. And he was like, well, you know, got the image for it, look cool. I was like, you know, I took it in consideration and we started making music from the deli.
And again, this is around 2014?
Yes, sir, like late 2014, like September.
So when you started making music in around 2014, what type of music were you making?
It was more of like a rock and roll rap.
Approximately how many records or songs did you release?
I believe around eight.
Did you go on any tours?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Eastern Europe. I toured in Bratislava, Slovakia, Prague, Czech Republic, Brno. Czech Republic, St. Petersburg, Russia, and Moscow.
Were you making any money at this time as a metal rap performer?
I mean, for all those shows, I made about like $2,000 profit. I did it just for the experience.
Now, Mr. Hernandez, did there come a time when the type of music that you recorded changed?
Yes.
Approximately when did that happen?
It changed in September of 2017.
Now, directing your attention to September 2017, did there come a time when you filmed a music video in Brooklyn?
Yes, sir.
Where in Brooklyn?
Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, on Madison between Tompkins Avenue and True.
Do you remember the address?
I believe I want to say it's 370 Madison.
370? Ms. Horney, can we please pull up for the witness what's been marked for identification as Government Exhibit 202?
This shit right on crazy.
Mr. Hernandez, do you see Government Exhibit 202?
Yes.
What is that?
370 Madison.
Is that a photograph of 370 Madison?
Yes, sir.
Is it fairly accurately depict the way 370 Madison looked?
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, the government office, government exhibit 202.
Any objection?
None, Your Honor.
No objection. Proceed.
May we publish it, Your Honor?
Yes.
So you filmed the music video in front of 370 Madison?
Yes, sir.
What was the name of that song?
Gummo. Gummo, G-U-M-M-O.
This morning we can take down 202.
Fire.
Mr. Hernandez, how did the filming of Gummo come about?
Around August of 2017, I made the song Gummo.
All righty. Wow. It was Tekashi 6ix9ine testifying in court, apparently. In federal court, that is. Man. And I don't know how that audio got smuggled out, but apparently somebody took a cell phone and recorded it.
And people was hearing it for themselves. Now, this goes all the way to what I was saying about, you know, all these neighborhoods bringing these guys into the hood because they got money. They want to be gangbangers. They loyalty. They can be gangbangers, but they loyalty and grind ain't there like, you know, the homie that you done broke bread with. This guy is up there on some shit you don't do. Now, that's for real. So, I mean, from what you just heard, I mean, it was one of my reasons for saying, you know, that I never had a problem with Tupac, but my problem was, you know, just because you got money don't mean you're from the hood. You can't just come to the hood like that. And if these guys never knew this was coming. They never knew it was coming. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I think you're right. I thought about Tupac when I was listening to this audio earlier today. There's some parallels. You know, yeah, a guy that really wasn't from the hood but was claiming the hood, a guy that was embraced by the hood but didn't go through the experiences of growing up in the hood or banging for the hood.
Yeah.
And then Tupac ends up shot and killed for making a mistake. Well, this guy Tekashi ends up indicted because of a mistake.
Yeah, but I mean, don't get me wrong. You got cats in the neighborhood that's with the shit like that. But what I'm saying is, you know, these guys coming here, flashing their money and spending their money with the homies, and then they let them slide in. Yeah. Now, if you don't let them slide in, like, man, you gotta earn to be here.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, James. I disagree with what Alex is saying because Pac wasn't he wasn't a fakester or a wankster. Pac was like that. He was loyal to who he was with.
And I get that.
And that's what I mean by Pac was, you got to remember, we're talking about a person that saw white men, they turned out to be in police later, beating up on some people, and he intervened and brought gunplay to it. So Pac is a person that's loyal to who he's with, and he ride or die with who he's with, not
exactly,
just...
Exactly, exactly.
But the way... That ain't how, you know, what was well, just see, said was see, just said.
Pac's story is totally different.
Yeah, that's
and
what
I understand
said.
That.
I disagree.
But yeah, being friends with 15 of the homies or the... Just say the whole hood except you. Yeah. It's not the same. You know what I'm saying? You ain't doing what I'm doing out here. Anybody can say, I'm from the mob, I'm from 60s, I'm from Hoover. Anybody can say that.
Yeah.
But when you get inside the hood and talk to them real niggas, them G niggas, if they ain't recognizing you, you're nobody. Yeah. You're nobody. And just because you got money don't mean that you automatically fit in. But they in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there's no telling what cats you don't know gonna bring to you.
My point is just that these aren't real gangsters. Tekashi 6ix9ine ain't no real gangster.
No.
Tupac Shakur was not no real gangster from my pie room.
Yeah, no, you.
And I think we could put Chris Brown in this category because he's been hanging out with a bunch of fruit towns. Where's Chris Brown from? North Carolina somewhere?
I have no clue.
Virginia. West Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia somewhere. Virginia. And now he's, you know, he's rolling with the fruit town Pyrus.
Well, we had a segment on this, man, and I really don't believe and think that, you know, just because you got money and you want to rep this hood, you know, cats benefit off of it.
Yeah.
And it's good and why the money's still coming. But when the money stopped coming, now we got problems. I mean, to each his own, to each hood that accept these cats want to come in and want to fit in and all of a sudden want to be gangbangers.
Know what you're dealing with.
Know what you're dealing with. You can't be, you can be mad, but you got to slap yourself in the motherfucking head when you see shit like this. You listen to this guy on the stand point out two of the homies.
Yeah. Now, these two are the ones supposedly allegedly kidnapped him. I mean, I know snitching is snitching, but they kidnapped him. His homeboy, and I'm not, you know, Shotty, who's another person he's supposed to lay it out, though.
And Shotty took a deal.
Shotty took a deal. Shotty going to be on the stand, too. Y'all watch. Mark my word.
Nah.
He going to be on the stand. Y'all watch. Oh, hell yeah.
You talking about
Shotty going to be on the stand. But my point to all of this is he was fucking this woman, so he ain't got no love for him, especially when he ain't loyal. And like y'all just put him out, not being a street dude and all of that. He was fucking on his woman. Why Shotty and everybody's mad and where this dude is wrong at, and it's obvious to me that the government was talking to him, because he said he decided to take a deal the day after he got arrested.
Yeah.
Shit like that happened? They were already talking to him. But they had already contacted him before he got arrested.
He's a kid, man. Exactly. He's 23 years old, yeah. And he ain't been in no shit to make him like that.
Yeah.
All this shit he doing it to fit in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show y'all how I'm with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when it gets caught, you ain't with it. You ain't there.
Yeah.
I watched this cat on the Breakfast Club talk about how hard he was, and this can't
test
happen
my
to
gangster,
me.
Right?
Yeah, test my gangster. Your gangster is young, my nigga. Yeah. You only 23 years old.
Well,
what have you?
He thought he had that backing. He wasn't talking about the federal government. He was talking about other street gangs.
Well, but number one,
other ghettos.
He got his homeboys, the hoodie claiming. Ain't getting fed, so they decide to snatch his ass
up. Exactly.
Now they get him for a little change.
Yeah.
Now, that came back to haunt him.
Yeah.
Because he's pointing them out right now.
That's how gangster niggas think, because I'm sitting next to somebody that thought that way at one time, too.
Who?
You.
Okay. Okay, but then, yeah, that's true. If we can't get my money this way from this car, let's get it another way.
Exactly.
Okay, understandable.
Yeah.
But these are your big homies. This is you paying your way to be from the hood.
Yeah.
So why do they have to kidnap you and go to the extreme to do this?
Yeah.
So you should have been breaking bread with
the
G's.
And that's generally because
there's
another nigga sitting in the middle. It's four or five other niggas that's a little bit closer that's controlling the bag. And then us six or seven that's outside be like, fuck those four or five and fuck him. We going to get him. Or those niggas ain't going to do nothing to me because they can't. You know? If that would have went down, nobody could did. To the people that was thinking about doing that to Suge at the time, nobody could have did anything to those people outside of it.
No.
They couldn't have did nothing.
No.
But take it and hope they wasn't there when it went down. Because that's what they were telling niggas to do, to step back.
Exactly.
Y'all better step back.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get him.
Exactly.
You know, he's a little white boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's into this rap culture, and you listening on the tape, he had these little odd jobs, you know, little bag boy, worked up to a cashier. Now he's doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? Now he see it, get a taste of $2,000. Now he making money.
Yeah.
Now he putting it down.
Oh,
he had 10
number one hits in 1 year, in a year and a half time.
He making a killing.
10.
Now he's from the hood.
He was bigger than Cardi B at
homie,
the time.
Homie, you got to go whoop the whoop whoop with this.
Exactly.
You ain't going to be claiming the hood and then bam. Everybody know the story on that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it don't justify what the fuck you're doing. Take your licks because you wanted
snitching
to be here.
Snitching and snitching. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And if you get on that motherfucking stand and can face those cats, what the fuck's going to happen to this dude in real life?
And the bad thing about it,
he don't understand that part.
He's still going to do probably about 10 years.
Well, they're going to put him somewhere. Oh,
they got to give him a better deal than that. For
you
all
watch.
This.
About,
well, he was
facing
looking at
47.
Yeah, he was facing 47 years.
He's going to still do about 10 years.
Well, the odds
seven
is against him
years.
Anyway for dealing with the police like that.
Yeah.
Because the police going to tell you, your boy did whoop the whoop whoop on some real shit. They ain't even got to tell him that because he don't understand telling it. Him, them two right there.
Oh, they let it be known. Ain't let it be known. I'm cooperating.
Those cats in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ain't coming home no more.
Yeah. And they seen their boy shot. Well, it's going to be a lot of deals being taken. But Shoddy took 15 years.
Yeah, and he didn't cooperate with the government. He actually called Tekashi.
Not with 15 years.
A rat. An ungrateful rat, he called him.
We'll see.
So I would be surprised if...
he was facing assault with deadly robbery charges, all of that. 15 years is
this
not...
This is the question right
15
here.
Years is not a deal for those charges.
But a lot of those charges, man, and this is, in my experience reading these indictments, a lot of it is exaggerated.
I mean, 15 years is a deal.
Yeah, 15 years is a
deal.
But you also have to add into the equation the exaggerations that the federal government adds in their indictments.
Oh, yeah.
There's all this extra stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of the stuff that
you've read.
You got to read this indictment, half of it is probably not even true.
Yeah.
Check this out and answer my question. And I want everybody that's listening to this to put their comments in if I'm wrong here, if I'm right. Here you got a little white boy making a lot of money.
He's actually Mexican.
Well, Mexican, helping a lot of people, right? And now, here he is at the end of the day on the stand testifying against the homies. All the shit that he went through, that the homies done to him, you know what I'm saying, is it justifiable because he doing it? Oh, yeah. Man, I get that dude a pass. Look what they was doing to him. He doing this to get out of the gangs.
Yeah.
I
hear you. The problem is what you always preach, is that's why we can't be so quick to say people are from the hood.
I understand that.
Homies.
I understand
and
that.
And so I'm saying, and once they started hollering that, because he made Treyway big, just like Pac and Suge made M.O.B. big.
Exactly.
He took them to another level. That's all he was saying. I used to think he was talking about Shoddy
Pac
when he was
shooting
pops off the Treyway.
Pac and Suge Knight didn't make the hood big.
No.
It expanded the hood into all different places, but they didn't make it big.
Well, not in Compton.
They made it bigger.
They made it big known where you got people talking.
Man, don't do that. The mob was the mob already before Suge or Tupac. With the Venice niggas was in the hood with
Compton.
Already. In Compton and everywhere
LA County
else.
Area.
But that's what I just said. They made it bigger in Texas.
Worldwide. That's all we're saying.
To that extreme.
I ain't saying among Fruit Town or
killers.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it took it worldwide.
You're right. They did that.
Pac took the mob brand and made it international.
Suge did.
Suge and Pac.
Suge did.
Suge started to. But Pac continued it.
Pac put it out there.
Musically.
Yeah, he put it in the lyrics.
and it's there. So, but fathers,
man, I sat in a game class where I was sitting in there and watching, and I seen a picture, and it made me laugh in the game class. The biggest Piru game member in Southern California.
And who was it?
Suge Knight.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably seen that. There's a training
and
thing.
And
I laughed.
I
said, boy, if any real game members ever saw that.
Man, be mad them up. I would.
I know you would.
But, you know, just by the things that happened to 6ix9ine, could he be saying, man, this is my only way of paying back and I can get myself out of jail? Just how we talked about Keefe D saying whoop the whoop whoop now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do it, make it right because you told.
Yeah, but Keefe D didn't send anybody to prison. There's going to be at least three, four, five people going to prison off of this.
I think
everybody,
it's more than that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it might be more than that.
It's a bigger indictment than that.
No, he didn't send nobody to prison because everybody is dead. Everybody is dead. We questioned that.
One person was still alive when he did it, but go ahead.
Was. Dre, right?
No. T-Bone.
But everybody is dead. So
the one that died in the dispensary.
You got everybody running around here calling the dude a rat because he spoke on the Lando and said they did the shit. But down here you're listening to this cat. This cat been kidnapped, beat the fuck up by his homies and all that. Is those still your homies after they do you like that?
Yeah.
Are they?
But there's other people inside the Treyway gang that was closer to him that's also getting indicted behind.
That was straight 100 with him.
Yeah. Shoddy was 100 with him.
And he just
Shoddy was fucking on his woman. But other than that.
Well, Shoddy and Tekashi had a falling out before the indictment even came down.
Because like he said, he knew that indictment was coming down. He had been contacted by the government. Trust me, he knew. He had already been contacted. He just didn't give nobody heads up. That's what everybody missing. It wasn't like they just got, like I did, early morning wake-ups. No, they had already been like, Mr. Tekashi, this is what's going on. This is what we're going to do. What you got for us?
So my question was, do you think what he's doing now is wrong, Alex?
Yeah, whenever you're telling, I just...
Regardless if they beat me, killed my mama, regardless if the homies just...
Kill your mama. Wait, man. Let's keep it.
I ain't gonna put mama in it. I'm just putting emphasis on it. Yeah, yeah.
He's telling beyond just the whole little kidnapping.
Is it beyond getting your ass whooped and tortured for a certain amount of time and then having to peel out 100 and something, whatever the amount was?
I think it was $175,000.
$175,000 and an ass beating? Now I gotta be loyal to you.
Then you return that ass beating.
Well, you're not built like that.
But he's saying he is.
Yeah. Test his gangster.
Yeah.
Exactly. I heard him say
when
that.
When he was saying that, I think he was talking about my hood, the people that surround me.
So that's what you think. He should have just went back at him and got a couple of cats and did his thing.
The way you beat these cases, these federal cases, is everybody keeps their mouth shut. Once one person starts talking, the whole case starts to crumble down on the people that are indicted. Everyone keeps their mouth shut. There is no case.
True.
And that's why those federal indictments are so effective for the federal government, because all you got to do is get one person to talk. And once you're reading through those pages, you're looking at 50 years. You're looking at 70 years. You're looking at 47 years.
They give out crazy numbers.
A guy like Daniel Hernandez, a.k.a. Tekashi 6ix9ine, will start talking with the quickness. He does not want to do 47 years. That's why I think he's probably going to do less than 5.
No. They offer any more than that.
Because if Shotty got 15 for doing a whole lot more and not cooperating.
Yeah, about seven, eight.
What is Tekashi
going to
get?
I think he did some cooperating.
The reason why you got to give Tekashi an amazing deal, like 3 years or 4 years, is so that you can get the next snitch to cooate. Because when someone sees...
They ain't giving 3 years. He already did 3 years.
Yeah, so they give Tekashi...
time served.
They give Tekashi the same time they gave Shotty, the next snitch is going to say, I'm not
giving
cooperating.
Up more than three people.
Oh, yeah. He's giving up the whole
20 or
30 people.
The feds gave Sammy the Bull Gravano 5 years for admitting to participating in 17 murders, for admitting to be the co-captain of the Gambino crime family, and he did way more than Tekashi 6ix9ine. He got 5 years for admitting to more murders than Jeffrey Dahmer committed. So there's no way Tekashi's going to get stretched out for this.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to send him down somewhere as if he went to the feds or whatever.
Well, they said they already got him in a snitch dorm.
He got money.
Yeah.
So he's going to take the money and disappear. But where can he go with all these tattoos on his face and neck?
What are snitches doing nowadays? Let's get into that. If and when Tekashi 6ix9ine gets released, what will he do?
He got to move. He got to go somewhere. He can't go back to Brooklyn.
Well, one of the articles mentioned that the feds have provided, what is it called when they're protecting you?
Witness protection.
That's going to be an option for him.
No, that's what he's going
to
take.
You don't have to. Sammy the Bull didn't take the...
He's not Sammy the Bull.
He went to Arizona.
He went to Arizona and started slanging ecstasy pills. And they caught another case. So,
well, I think...
So your question is he going to be able to go back in the music business? This is what you want.
Well, first and foremost, will he come back to New York City where he was born and raised?
No.
Will he go back into the music? But he's a famous person. He's known everywhere now with all these tattoos. I mean, everybody know who he is.
If he go back to Brooklyn and be able to live in Brooklyn happy and go back to doing music, all of those cats in Brooklyn should walk with their head down.
Hey, it's happening already in L.A.
That's what I'm about to say.
In all these neighborhoods, there's informants from every neighborhood in Compton, L.A., and Watts that have come back to the neighborhood, that have made their presence known, and nothing is happening to them.
And they're still hanging in the hood.
They're still hanging in the hood.
Kicking it with the homies drinking and all that.
All of that.
Well, they homies ought to be ashamed of themselves.
I agree. But there's probably not a hood that hasn't happened to in L.A., in Compton, in Watts, and Long Beach.
Stutterbox from Main Street is known. Greg Caden's put him out in the movie.
Man, why you putting names out? I ain't going to put no names out there like that.
Well, I did.
But it's
Reggie Wright says Stutterbox from Main Street, he's doing it. And he's riding around and still doing it. But that's just one thing. But I can tell you people that went back to their professions. Kobe Bryant went back to his profession with no problem.
Who Kobe Bryant so long?
Ray,
He told on Shaq.
No, not Ray Allen.
Baseball?
The football player.
Oh, the football player.
Ray Lewis.
He got on the stand, testified on a nigga that was with him, and he went back to his little happy life.
He a hot
But Kobe ain't from, was a member claiming he from the streets. He ain't about that life.
I'm just telling you people that did some talking.
Yeah.
Different people.
That went back to their profession.
Some people thought
and continue,
that.
And we have no problem with it. I don't have no problem with Kobe. I have a problem with Ray. For some reason, I have a problem with Ray Lewis. I don't look at him the same.
Kobe Bryant sent somebody to prison?
He was trying. He don't know what the consequences could have been from that.
Shaq going to jail?
He don't know what the consequences could have been from that.
He didn't go.
He didn't.
So people ain't looking at it like that. Ain't nobody did no time. He just said Shaq was doing it too.
But I think what Reggie's saying is his fans forgave him.
That's all I'm saying.
He came. Not only his fans forgave him, he went back and got endorsement deals again. Because all those in his sponsors dropped him after the rape charges.
Because he got off the hook. So if you ain't charged with the shit, like I said
about
OJ.
I'm talking about the snitching part. We ain't talking about the getting off the
hook. Even if he got on there and told and then came, he's different from this 6ix9ine cat. It's different. He in football shit. Them rich people forgave him. Let it go.
Yeah, he is a civilian. Kobe's a civilian.
Now this dude is a gangbanger.
He's not a gangbanger. He just claimed to be.
He put himself in the gangbanger category. He put himself there. Everyone believed it. He went all over social media. Went all over the internet. Went all over these interviews. Claimed it. Even had the leader come on an interview with him. Kind of co-signed him.
Exactly. Half of the people that buy his music, these kids, was to look at him like that.
Shotty was like the Shug.
He looked that part.
Shotty was like Shug.
You know what? I seen this dude a long time ago at the airport, got into a fight. He looked so goddamn scared. This 6ix9ine kid.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, LAX,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I seen the look on his face. He looked like he was scared as a motherfucker. But he tatted up. He looked like he banging, he with it. Those other cats that he was fighting, dude, they was with it. But I don't care what he do. I don't care how he get down. You can't go back to the hood after getting on the stand on some Brooklyn niggas, on your homies, and go back to Brooklyn and then just think it ain't nothing.
Well, that's the way it used to be.
And Snoop Dogg, we just kicked that up under the rug.
I think that they're going to get rid of that. And Snoop Dogg case, ain't nobody putting emphasis on what Snoop did or said.
Yeah.
So you can't call him nothing.
My point
that's
is,
one thing people, I hate I'm when a motherfucker calls you something.
We allow people to do it, walk around, and with no consequences. That's why I believe after a certain period of time, there's going to be some that's not going to fuck with him. But there's going to be a lot of people that's going to forgive him and forget about it and go on and continue buying his records.
If that little boy got out of jail and come back to Brooklyn within 3 years and think he going to make that his home.
Well, number one, I believe he's going to be there for about 7 years.
Them cats going to get rid of that little boy.
Oh, he ain't going to go back to Brooklyn, but he's going to go somewhere. And he's going to be converted. And
what TV show he can get on doing his music? What show is he going to go to doing music after he did this? You are trying to send 20, 30 motherfuckers to jail.
I agree with you. You got to remember, I think he's rat of the year. I mean, but my point is, we're a forgiving society, and it's going to be bygones be bygones, as Snoop say. That's bygones be bygones.
Okay, well, if y'all think like that, we need to just leave this conversation alone.
I don't say I agree with it, but that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Hey, it's happening all over. I just remembered the Tim Allen, the actor comedian, who's all over TV. You know that he was a cocaine informant back in the day.
Tim Allen, the white dude.
You talking about the guy that played on the TV show with the Home Improvement?
Yeah, the Home Improvement show.
Yeah.
People forgave him. The guy became an actor, a star.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, this is probably like in the 60s or 70s.
I'm talking about shit in our world. I ain't worried about these white folks.
I'm just saying how society is forgiving.
They are a forgiving society.
Well, you know, I never thought that the rapper Rick Ross would be able to overcome those photos of him being a CEO that when he was working in the Miami-Dade jail, I thought his rap career is over.
The brother was
because he's rapping about gangster stuff. He's rapping about drug trafficking, and this dude and was basically a cop.
Why can't rap about that? See, that's what that's y'all.
I'm the biggest one.
Let me explain this to you.
You say y'all.
Here you got a man that worked as a correction officer, not a police officer. Two different things. Do you see him as a cop, a real cop?
No, cops don't look at correction officers.
Okay,
as cops,
that so. Part.
But they look at themselves as cops, and the inmates call them cops.
Well, if he was a fucked up cat in a banana, then he would have had a problem. But if he want to be a cop, this is how he choose to live.
Yeah.
So if he choose to live, and that's feeding
him, that.
Putting paying his bills, yeah. What's wrong with being a correction officer?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
You got homies in the hood that's correction officers. Just because I work for the paramedics, I'm on the other side now.
I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it, but he portrayed himself to be something other than he was.
But what was he before that? What was he before that? We got a whole lot of motherfucking real gangsters out there that ain't never seen the penitentiary. Real niggas that ain't even been to the pen.
Yeah, it ain't no honor in getting caught.
Shit.
Ain't no honor.
But the cool thing is, you got cats out there that ain't, not what you call them, but that's out there, they police, and they doing the same shit we doing.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Crooked
violent
is what they, okay, go ahead.
Violent bullshit is in your fucking nature. Oh. Half of these motherfuckers that's police officer, at the end of the day, everybody is a motherfucking human and make mistakes and do shit.
Oh, just me, I'm the prime example of that.
Look at Donald Trump.
I'm the prime example of that.
Just because I said is the reason why he do 80% of the shit he do. But just because this motherfucker was a correction officer, man, to each his own.
Yeah, but then he lied about it. He said, that's not me in the photo. Denying it. Mm-hmm. And then didn't Vlad get into a big deal? I think Vlad is the one that broke that story.
Yeah, he broke it up
years ago.
And that's why him and Vlad had that issue. Yeah. But here we go. Damn, this can end my career. Motherfuckers, how they go? They ain't going to buy my music no more if they know. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't 100. He just wasn't 100. That's all that is. But so what? He was a correction officer trying to eat. He got a job. You know what I'm saying? He ain't never been to prison.
Yeah.
You got a million cats walking around here today that's with the business and that say they with the business and they never went to the penitentiary. What's that song? If you ain't never been to prison, I ain't fucking with you. Bullshit. They still fucking with you. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of cats out there, and there's a lot of cats out there that try to live one way, but they wind up on the other side of the fence, man, and then they get caught up. Being a gangster is not for every motherfucking body, because at one point, you're going to have to prove who the fuck you are and the shit you say. And motherfuckers don't understand that. You can't sit here and tell a nigga I'm a killer and then this motherfucker walk up to you and call you a bitch and you don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't do that. You can't be this thug-ass nigga sagging in your motherfucking pants. This is what I tell my nephews. Nigga, y'all ain't living how we was living. Gangbanging was an activity. Gangbanging was getting in the car and looking for your opposers. Gangbanging was, man, I got to shoot somebody because I'm mad at these motherfuckers. Gangbanging was proving a point to the next nigga that I'm with it and don't come over here. Gangbanging wasn't all about protection. I want to join that hood because they deep. You go to the penitentiary. Penitentiary will show you what type of nigga you is. Sitting in the county jail from the penitentiary. You go to the county jail and you repping something you ain't. You go to that blood module and that crip module and Big Rocky don't know who the fuck you is, but you claiming his hood. You gonna fucking get gang raped and beat with house shoes and put in a motherfucking fart sack. You go to prison. Woofing that bullshit like you all with it, but every fight, every argument you have, you walk away from it. They gonna get at your ass. Yeah. Take something from somebody and don't give it back. They gonna get at your ass. That shit follows you. It follows you. You get raped in motherfucking prison, don't come home sagging and putting on khaki suits and shit.
It's over for you,
wearing them chucks. You should be done.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They come home like they're gangsters.
Well, that's what some of these snitches are doing. They're coming home. They're coming to the hood strapped. They're coming to the home wanting their position back. And everyone knows that they've informed.
You can't get that back. You can't.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
But there's always a couple of guys in the hood that say, oh, you know what? He didn't snitch on me, so I'm not tripping on him. Or he got a little bit of money, so I'm not tripping on him.
What you have now is you got a hood that is... Just say, for instance, you got the mob. Just say, and you got 500 niggas in the hood in that one clique. Everybody is separated in that one clique. You don't just have everybody just on the mob thing and everybody together. Everybody ain't eating together. Everybody is doing their own motherfucking thing. And everybody, and especially with the young niggas today, has their own perception of what type of gangbanger they want to be.
And that's exactly how an informant could wiggle their way into the hood. They could figure out, okay, these guys hate me, but I got some of these guys over here still like me, even though they're from the same hood. And that's how these informants or former informants come back to the hood.
Well, I mean, you gotta live in the hood to see that type of shit. You gotta really be in the hood to see that shit. If you got your big homies and you got your cats like really living that motherfucking life, then it shouldn't be. You got some motherfuckers saying, I ain't gonna fuck with that nigga just because of this. But you ain't gonna see them motherfuckers sitting here drinking and getting high. Man, if you get on, and this is how it used to be a long time ago, you would have to get on the stand and do what this little cat did to be called that. The way it is now and the way the police got it is you don't have to see this. You don't have to see this. You're going off a word of somebody else. So that's how we living in this society today. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is quick to believe what John Doe said opposed to your homeboy. You don't have no loyalty. You don't have no respect. And you don't have no honesty in the hood. You don't have no togetherness, no nothing in the hood today. All that shit is so watered down. Every year you get different motherfuckers. Every time. You couldn't bring a homie, a 6ix9ine, to the hood and say he with the business. If you was from the mob and a white boy or a Mexican trying to claim the hood, you was doing extra just to prove that you belong here. No, niggas wouldn't come into the hood because they had money. You know what I'm saying? They join in the gangs because they got money and they want to rap and be a part of this shit. But ain't nobody sitting there telling them to stop. You can't be from the hood, homie. But they getting paid for it. It's hard out there. Cool. Teach his own.
Now, I want to invite everybody to watch an interview that I did recently of a guy named Jay Stoner from Fruittown Piru. He tells a story of getting caught in the case. He ended up going to prison. He found out his fellow homeboy from Fruittown Piru snitched on him. That same dude ended up on the same prison yard, so they got him up off the yard. Now, maybe 4 years
later. How did they get him off the yard?
Oh, they went into a cell and beat him up. And then eventually he got off the yard.
The only way he can do that is had to send that kite in and say, I can't be here no more. My life is in danger.
Him and another Piru dude stomped him out. He got off the yard. But then Jay Stoner tells in the interview, he's in Gonzales Park. They kicking it in the park. And guess who decided he wants to come through? It's the same dude that snitched. So they ended up getting into a big altercation. Bullets were fired. Nobody got killed. But it just shows that this informant did not realize that he's not welcomed anymore. This is like 2000 and...
Or he didn't give a fuck about
Like 2015 or 16. And this guy decided, I'm coming back to the hood. And he's posted up in Gonzales Park. And everyone's like, didn't this dude snitch on Jay Stoner?
Well, the whole hood should know that.
Yeah.
They knew. Okay, and so he wasn't him tripping. Coming back through there. And just like you said just a minute ago, man. Some motherfuckers is like, that ain't my business. That's between them. Yeah. I'm just not going to fuck with this nigga. You feel me? But who's to know? Who's to know?
Well, let me ask you this.
How can he say that?
I got a question for you, James, because when I was interviewing...
But Jay Stoner, the guy that thought he died and came back...
That's the dude. But the interview I'm talking about is part three of Jay Stoner. You're right, Reggie. He was the one that told that after-death story. But he also said this. When they were on the yard, he was giving the paperwork to everybody on the yard to say such and such was a snitch. And the blood said... Well, that's a Piru thing. So y'all Piru's got to deal with it. And
that's
true. He said there's only two Piru. He said it was just him and another Piru. Yeah. And it was like, I thought this was all a blood thing. It was like, nah, you and another Piru dude handle that. So it came to a Piru thing.
See, Saul, this is what that comment was made for. You see what this man just said?
It was.
Yeah. In the penitentiary, when I went to the penitentiary,
I'm just trying to show people across the country.
That's a Piru issue. Motherfuckers handled what they had to handle. Not just that, they ain't got nothing to do with us. You ain't finna walk the yard and you're a snitch.
But shouldn't the other bloods be just as concerned that this dude's an informant?
My point exactly. I don't think it should have happened like that.
I wasn't making that statement.
But this 2015.
Yeah.
This 2015. The prisons are different now. You know what I'm saying? You know, man, all the old Gladiator cats, all the BGF cats, man, are like this now, on a relaxed mode. Motherfuckers get tired. Motherfuckers is 70, 69. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers is getting tired. I see a lot of these videos, dog, where I just watched one with you and King Babalu. I watched one with you and Cynthia and all of them in the park. And you know, I'm listening. And
that wasn't his.
That was Skip Townsend's.
Yeah, that was Skip
Townsend. Skip Townsend.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that shit, and I'm looking at Gangsta Nate. Trying to retire.
Yeah.
Trying to retire.
Yeah.
Love him to death.
Yeah.
That's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But it's time to retire. Some things we can't do. And if I was filming this shit, like I told you when we went over there to CJ and watching them, motherfuckers drunk. Cut that shit. Edit that shit. That's not our perception of what we are.
Yeah. What did you not like about Nate's representation in Skip Townsend?
He just said
video?
He old. No, I didn't say I didn't like
old.
It.
They look old.
I'm just saying how Gangsta Nate was talking and you could tell he was loaded. You know, when you interviewing somebody drunk, what the fuck is he talking about? You know what I'm saying? That makes what he's talking about makes it bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That don't represent us in that manner. You know what I'm saying? But the video is still out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
the good thing about it, he was surrounded by a bunch of other guys that were, you can tell, they've been in the game a while.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
hopefully the youngsters will understand these are some old OGs. You know.
All of those guys are the big homies. And what I'm saying is the big homies always supposed to represent 100 in a real kind of way.
I got you.
Because everybody listening and seeing this shit, this is the first perception they have of you. You and you and everybody else.
Right.
But this cat sitting here loaded as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can, off camera, we can go get high and go do our own motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying? When I did my interview with you, I knew I had to have my guns in my pocket. You feel me?
Absolutely.
And I'm standing in this spot, and that spot. You ain't never comfortable.
Yeah.
You can't be. So, I mean, you know, motherfuckers just get it twisted, and they twist, and they twist, and they twist. The main cats that's on some foul shit is the ones that's really out there talking the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Right now in the day, I guarantee you, you can't really get a nigga to say, like, for 100, that's really my road dog. Too much from that statement, this motherfucker didn't kill you. So, I mean, 6'9" got a long road ahead of him.
Oh, he got a long road.
At 23... Yeah. He's done.
He might be safer in prison than he is on the
I don't bench. Think he's completely done, actually. I think that, let's say in 7 years from now, when he's 30 years old, a lot of people are going to forget about this.
Yeah.
A lot of people...
He's going to sit down for a minute.
The people who are offended the most are going to be gone somewhere. And this guy is going to do music
and
still.
You know why?
I agree.
Because every man that he's sent to prison has a family, cousin, nephew, uncle, or niece that's still walking Brooklyn. That's still walking. Let's say he'd lock up 20 motherfuckers. That's a lot of people that ain't gonna never forget what the fuck he did.
But a lot of people also saying that dude works for the feds.
And we can't say
that. And I ain't laying a hand on that person.
Yeah. And we can't say that. And that's why the statement was made by Boosie was because it's 20, 23 years later. And Keefe D is walking around talking and free. And, like, nobody did anything for him.
Well, KPD walking around and doing it. KPD ain't in Compton.
Can he come to Compton, though?
Yeah. No. No, I just said that too bad.
All right, let me ask James again. Can KPD come to Compton?
No, KPD don't go to Compton.
He go to Compton.
But, yeah, exactly. But he ain't supposed to.
Yeah, yeah.
But ain't nobody from Southside.
I can't even say he ain't supposed to.
Ain't no one going to do nothing to KPD at this point.
That's my point about...
At this point, what do you have to gain from it?
I said KPD...
And that's why I think he's going to eventually get a pass. Because
no, what he did, everybody did.
Because it's your point. Because some, you know what Tekashi going to say? These people tortured me, as James McDonald said.
Exactly.
These people beat me down.
The only reason why Keefe D is the only thing I said he did wrong with that situation is he was in a situation with the law and he chose to go out that way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, they feel like we didn't, why nobody from the mob. Not we.
Nobody from the mob what?
Did anything to
Reggie just put himself in the mob.
Put myself
we.
In the mob. Did anything to KPD and why is he still walking around like he does?
Well, if I hung in the mob, I would be able to tell you that.
Yeah.
If I was still over there.
Yeah.
You know, I go through that motherfucker and I see niggas that's walking around like they just really killers. And they not. Like I said, the whole motherfucker.
So you saying
thing,
they not getting checked right?
No.
Yeah.
There's no big homies in the hood saying, little homies, this is what y'all spoke. We used to sit on the porch with Rodney Coburn and them, and they used to tell us how they used to get down and the way we should be.
Yeah.
You know, don't never this, don't never that. You do this, and then you're going to have a problem. You go this way, instead of going that way, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
All the way to when I went to prison, we in a motherfucking blood module. Excuse me. We in a blood module, and, you know, bloods rule the streets of L.A., whoop the whoop all night and day. Now, here we go, hitting that Chino line. Now, when you're on your way to prison, they don't care what cell you're in. They just throwing everybody in there. You got Bloods and Crips in here. So the homies are saying, if you go in this yard, fire on the motherfucker because this ain't the yard to be. I was in Chino West. I was in Laguna. And they said, that's all Crips. That's they shit.
Yeah.
I motherfuckers was leaving in there a week, was leaving 2 weeks. Had a homeboy, goddamn, Raw Dog. His name was Raw Dog. And Aesop Payne, I believe. And then we had the Pueblos, not the Pueblo. It's over 30-something years. But we was just in there, all of us together. It's only 8 bloods. But all together, it's 20 motherfuckers. And now you're seeing the homies convert from, man, I'm trying to do my time and get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a purpose to this shit. The penitentiary teach you if you cut for this shit. But some niggas, motherfuckers I know that got raped in prison is on the motherfucking streets with the business.
Yeah.
With the business.
And some of these informants are too.
Okay. You can take Holden. The little boy was with the business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just can't take shit from a certain individual. And half of the motherfucking, and I swear to God, and they not what you call them movie people. Half of the motherfuckers, they call them this and that, ain't that, man. Ain't that. You listening to this motherfucker, and you listening to this motherfucker, that's going to get your cap peeled. You feel me? Back then, niggas had to come to the hood with, okay, this nigga done son 15 niggas in jail. Well, we ain't going to do nothing until this comes. Where is that?
Where is the paperwork?
The paperwork.
Let's go to jail. Yeah. Niggas in Compton Courthouse. We had a lot of cats. Oh, they right there. Can you describe what they wearing? All blue. You know he wrong. You know he wrong. You know what I'm saying? So it's a big difference. And all of these guys, one thing I learned, that a lot of the OGs I've seen, you have cats come in up under them and they try to discredit those cats and they get down. And a lot of them, and I can't explain it to this dude and that dude, but we got a lot of big homies out there that was like really with the business, but just not. No more. That's why you don't have you had in the hood. You don't have that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we all grow up and mature. And
you got to.
And learn from our mistakes.
You got to.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But that'll never happen if you keep putting out, you watching these videos. No disrespect to you, but, I mean, we is it, can I use the word glorifying? Gangbangers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I seen a video with Nutty Blocks cats riding all over the different parts of Compton. You don't even know what the fuck they talking about, because they just, yeah, woo, woo, woo. Nigga, I just did, woo, woo. What are you talking about? A video is supposed to be something you putting out there that meant something and you're trying to get a point across.
Well, there's all levels of different kind of videos.
Exactly. So, man, if we got to stop glorifying this shit in order to fix this shit. You know what I'm saying? We can't fix it with everybody just wanting to know it and cool it. And I want to be one of them, because that little cat is looking at this shit. And I want to be like that dude. You know what I'm saying? That was one of my biggest things for being who I was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And man, I swear to God, sitting in Looters Park in the headquarters. They had the little spot up under there. You used to call it the headquarters. And me and Drew and Tom, Darcy Rue and all of us, we used to walk up in there. And we used to see Stanley Pitts, China Dog and all that. But
looking
when China Dog came,
yeah.
You even see the big homies just like, okay, there go the dog. And adjusted themselves to that. And we used to like, I used to like, man, this before I even knew who China Dog was. And it was like, man, what's that name?
Yeah.
And that's China Dog right there. Then you see him interact and kind of like a boss to the Mexicans.
Yeah.
Oh, this dude is on every different shade.
And we looked up to him.
Exactly.
In your interview with Cynthia, she was pretty much saying that about
seeing this shit, this is what I'm finna do. He definitely is not a follower. So if I'm gonna be like that, you got to lead by example.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I've always led by example. If anything happened in the hood, I have to go. I'm fuck practice what you preach. You shoot the homie, I gotta come get you, because y'all ain't gonna say y'all shot at them niggas and then they didn't come retaliate.
Yeah.
So it's something totally different.
Explain that, James, because that's what a lot of people will be conversing with on the internet about, where they don't get the point of Why nothing happened to Keefe? Why nothing happened to Baby Lane? Shit went down, and they don't understand that.
I mean, that's
because
something.
It's just about gangbang mentality. It's just about retaliation in that hood.
Well, that's something that shouldn't even be explained. Basically, a lot of cats in the hood and all over are mad at the situation right now today. You know what I'm saying? Orlando is gone. So everything pretty much went woo-sah.
Yeah.
Woo-sah. But now you have Keefy D saying he did it.
Yeah.
Keefy D ain't put himself on no platter for him to be around no pop rules and say, here I am, niggas. Yeah, I said I did it.
Yeah.
My nephew did it. So it's a different thing. And when that shit went off, it went off big. Fireworks.
Exactly.
It's cracking. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't no half-ass shit. People just don't understand the formalities that cats go through on a daily, just driving through there and popping on a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, after you pop on a motherfucker, I did that. That's for Pac, and turn up his drink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? These people on the outside don't know that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's a sad fucking thing, but then that's just how it is, and can't nobody flip it or change it. It's not a strip.
Yeah.
Or the last part of this Tekashi 6ix9ine thing is. He's going to come home eventually. Can he resume his career? And if so, how does he resume his career? Considering you say he probably can't go back to Brooklyn, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a music career. That doesn't mean he doesn't sell downloads and streams from a remote location. It doesn't
mean... that all depends on the people that... And if they buy his shit, that means they're supporting him, right?
That's what
so
I was saying.
So then, I mean, if this and dude sent 30 people to jail, do you support this dude?
A forgiving society, though.
Do you really want to hear his music?
Well, if you heard his testimony, he toured where? In Serbia. He toured all over the world.
Yeah.
Those places don't care about what happened to him here in the United
States.
Well,
then he's going to have to go there.
That's where most rappers go. A lot of rappers are making their money
overseas.
I don't
believe that. I don't believe he's going to have to go there. I really believe that half of his audience was still going to support him.
Well, I mean...
And a big chunk of his audience are people my son's age, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Man, y'all got to look at this and be 100 with yourself. A lot of people call Michael Jackson a child molester, and everybody still loved this man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody still loved this man, but you got so many people that don't.
I just
don't.
Now stopped listening to R. Kelly music, and I've been knowing that he was.
Why? Why R. Kelly music?
Oh, he's a fucking molester.
Is he
that's
really?
Why. Yes, he is.
Is he really? You got a motherfucker on your label and a motherfucking molester, and y'all.
Well, I'm
going
to wait till he's convicted in a court of law.
Exactly.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Even with that, man, all these people talking, but R. Kelly, these motherfuckers know what they're getting
into. My point
to
that. Is we've been knowing about R. Kelly and his addiction way in 2003, and I just stopped liking him in 2019.
And I'm glad we own this.
Yeah.
You got videos out there. You got young women, 14 and 15 years old, look like they 19 and 25. They out there doing grown up shit,
That's
grown
true.
Woman shit. Listen to me before you say something. Out there doing grown woman shit. But what happens when they come up missing? They got their 9-year-old daughters out here twerking and all this shit, dressed up with makeup and all this shit on. What's supposed to happen?
They ain't supposed to be touched.
Stop putting your they're not supposed to be touched. But don't put yourself in a position to be sold.
The parents,
now, if you understand
mama,
that,
mama need, their mama need to not be allowing that to happen.
So
and all that, but
don't win my case for me, because here
but
now
we still ain't supposed to be touching
them. Now here go R. Kelly. R. Kelly fucking was 17 years old and up, right?
17,
Well, the girl in that video that he was pissing on was supposed
14.
To be 14. Yeah.
Okay, 14 and up. Why the fuck is she there at that time of night? Where your parents at?
Well, she was there with her cousin, Sparkle.
I don't care. Well, her cousin
like
should be the one in jail.
Sparkle says she got problems, and, you know.
She should have been in jail for even letting him go in the
but
room.
But she said
with...
she didn't know and all of that.
Come on, man. You don't let this little girl go in room with no grown-ass man by herself.
14, 15, 16-year-old kids, we can't watch like that.
Well,
but as a 27, 28, 30-year-old man, we know they are off-limits.
Reggie Wright. This is the way of the world today. Just like we've been talking, how people's perception and how they accept the way we live and motherfuckers that talk. This is the same shit. Who put their kid in front of a man that got money and then let him go off by himself with her knowing that she's a minor? Wait a minute. It ain't just his fault. It's his fault for taking in that girl.
It's the parents' fault, too.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so don't be ready to chop his dick off.
Well, the question is, does R. Kelly deserve to go to prison for
Hell
that?
Hell yeah.
How? And you got to blame the family. Where's the parents of this shit?
Family has some you know culpability.
What? I'm going to say this. The only time it matters in situations like this when it happens to our family.
No, no. None of these kids are my kids. And he had no business to keep doing what he's doing.
Donald Trump has admitted, I've been just, what you call him? They don't lock him up, but they lock up Bill Cosby. Come on, this can go forever.
We're talking about molestations and child.
Same shit. A date rape is the same thing as molesting a motherfucker.
It's a lot worse.
Man, it's wrong though, right? At the end of the day, it's wrong.
Both of them is wrong, but child molestation is a lot worse than
R. Kelly than
grabbing somebody pussy.
But R. Kelly is not at fault.
And I'm not saying
that
Trump is right for what he did. I'm not trying to justify what he did, but we're not going up here and justify R. Kelly for what
he
did.
I'm not justifying nothing. I'm showing you points of why. How is it just blamed on him when you got, how the fuck can he fly a motherfucker?
Yeah, like,
wait a minute, listen, Alex. How can R. Kelly fly three women from Compton to a fucking Australia, a 14-hour flight, and stay gone 2 weeks, and my mom and them don't know where the fuck I'm at?
Parents should be charged for child endangerment. Yeah. And even the one with Michael Jackson, where I saw the interview with the mom. The mom said, I just left him over there, and I let him kick it with Michael. And I thought it was weird when he wanted his room in the hotel way on that side, and he put me in the hotel on the other side.
Exactly.
Ma'am, that's child endangerment.
Yeah.
You're neglecting your kid.
They know that, but at the end of the day, if you know this man, hold on, Reggie, and I want you to be honest. If you know this man just raped your daughter and been sleeping with your 14-year-old daughter, why, when he give you $15,000, is over and done? We good. Well, all right.
Is that what happened?
Well, there were.
He was paying the
there were settlements.
Yeah. Why take a settlement, what I'm saying? If you know Michael Jackson was molesting your son, a man raping a boy, why would you take a settlement? No, I want your ass under the fucking jail.
Exactly.
I want your shit cut off where you can't do it no more and nobody have to deal with you. You're a fucking pedophile.
Well, some parents don't want to put their kids through the whole emotional roller coaster
of
a trial.
It's emotional when you get in the deal.
I know, but the trial is like reliving the whole pain all over. In fact, that's what happened with Charlamagne's case. The mother didn't want to put the daughter through the trial.
That hurts more. That hurts.
And we forgot 6ix9ine did that shit too.
Oh yeah, 6ix9ine also had underage, but he was also he was young too.
Underage, but,
he was like 18 and dealing with another
13-year-old or something. But
it makes it worse.
But R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, both are pedophiles, and we need to
that can be the point. But
buying their music and supporting them.
That can be the point. But what about their mamas and daddies that's going to court?
They need to be dealt with.
They need to be answered to. They need to answer to that.
Yeah, there's no
too.
Way I would ever let my kid go in a hotel room with Michael Jackson, and then they put me in a room on the other side of the hotel, and I don't know what the heck's
How
going
can
on.
You send your daughter
that's just not going
to
happen.
On a motherfucking airplane with a grown man. How do this man? How can this man hold you?
I don't
and keep
know the facts.
You?
Some parents are just naive.
Come on, man,
they're just naive.
They've been going to court.
I don't know the facts.
I know.
Man. I just know that they were 14-year-olds that got their dick, got a 28-year-old dick in them.
Okay,
and that's a problem.
Well, they shouldn't have been acting like they was grown ass women. And that's what you get, acting like grown women. You got these little girls out here want to be grown. Don't want to listen to nothing. Don't want to listen to
James
nobody.
James don't have no daughters.
No, I do got a daughter. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm telling you, my daughter wanted to run the streets and didn't
want to
listen.
But you didn't allow that.
Bullshit.
You allowed
After
it?
I let her go back to her mama, she doing okay. her and her mama. Then she wound up pregnant.
By a 28-year-old?
Listen, I ran my... It don't matter how old it was. Listen, I'm trying to tell you what happened, Reggie.
Okay, I'm listening.
My daughter...
But 27, 28-year-old listen, versus a 14 is different.
The niggas was 35, 40 years old. 35, 40 years old.
Okay, all right. And she was how old?
And Talen was 19. No, listen to me. the shit that they doing out, man, I'm done.
Go ahead, James.
No.
No, we talking about a 13, 14-year-old versus a 19-year-old. It's a big difference, but, James.
No, it's the difference.
They're adult now.
Reggie, I want you to listen and hear what I'm saying.
I'm listening.
The reason why these girls are out here and niggas accepting that because they look older, they're more mature than what they were back in. When we went to school, every girl in the fourth grade and fifth grade didn't have no titties.
Yeah.
They weren't even wearing training bras.
I got what you're saying about how they dress.
Go to a junior high now. Go to a high school now. They got ass titties and everything else.
You still don't touch them.
Make up the whole nine. No, it don't.
You still can't touch them, man.
No, you can't. But you got men out there that think like that, dog. You're going to always have a fucking pedophile. So how do you protect your family?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to have... You got to teach your kids, man. Dressing up like this only gets you one way. You got...
I agree with you on that.
Little kids getting snatched off the street walking from school because they got ass and titties. You know what I'm saying? You got that little white girl that was doing the beauty pageants.
Yeah, yeah.
She looked like a...
JonBenet Ramsey.
JonBenet Ramsey. Yeah. She looked like a 20-year-old midget.
She did look grown.
You know what I'm saying?
Because she had to make up
a grown 6-year-old.
Okay, I'm getting a little witch come, but what I'm trying to say to y'all, man, is that, you know, it's how you raise your kid, especially a girl, especially your daughters. How you got to have them like this. You got to cuff them.
Yeah.
Because when you let them go and all loose that, like that.
All that, you're 100% right, James.
Yeah.
But a 27, 28-year-old man still don't supposed to be lusting over a 13-year-old girl.
True. That's true.
I don't care how she's dressed.
I know.
How she look. And you, and if you do it and you get caught, then you need
you should
to go
do the
to
time.
Jail. Exactly.
Well, how come R. Kelly hasn't been convicted?
Because he had been successfully buying people off, as y'all said. And so he has been dealing with parents, and he has been dealing with young ladies, really, where he got into their mind. And he controlled that mind. He was almost like a pimp.
He was a temptation.
He was really a pimp. Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
And in our today, in our society, that's all that matters, money. You getting these money in these parents is, right. Man, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. You better say he did me too. Maybe not be true, but they getting paid off. Now, why get paid off? And you just, that means you don't give a fuck about your child. You took this money. I'd rather see your ass lynched.
Well, he should have been charged with his relationship with Aaliyah back in the day.
That's another one.
But
there's been so many of them. Like I said, I forgave him from Sparkle. I seen that video. I watched that tape. I guess I watched child pornography. Because I watched that tape where he had sex with Sparkle niece. We found out later she was 14.
But this shit
now
is,
that I know the age that she was, I
R.
feel
Kelly
bad.
And not the only guy on this planet that's doing it.
No. And, I can tell you people on death row that was doing
and
it.
You got, exactly.
And so,
and
yeah,
should they have been in jail? Or should they have been kicked
they
off death row? I'm not fucking with you niggas no more.
I always tell the story.
Okay.
When it happened, we had to pay those people off. We sent his ass home and said, nigga, you need to go home and be with your mama.
All right, let's just wrap this up. Can Tekashi 6ix9ine resurrect his music career in 5 or 7 years from now, whenever he comes home from prison?
I truly don't believe so. I truly believe that he gonna be somewhere else, and he ain't gonna want to. He's not gonna want to.
He's got
to
make money. That's the only thing he knows how to do.
Well, he got money,
and he was making money. He went to prison in the height of his career.
Yeah, and they gonna take care of him. He ain't gotta worry about no money and witness protection. Yeah. They gonna take care of him. He's done for the rest of his life. They got him.
Okay.
And like I my opinion is just like we forgave all the people I gave, Snoop, Kobe, Ray Lewis, Tim Allen.
You said Snoop.
Yeah. Mm. Just like we forgave all of them. We gonna forgive this fool.
I know. I'm not forgiving
Rainbow
nobody.
And Tim Allen
nobody.
Also.
You just forgave R. Kelly.
Tim Allen, the actor.
You forgave a molester over a snitch. I'd rather deal with a snitch than a fucking molester.
Your witch call him is so sad. What I said.
Did he just justify R. Kelly?
I'm saying
R.
Kelly. He
completely justified. He's laying blame also
on both sides.
On the parents of these girls.
Sides.
Okay.
Because how does a 14-year-old girl...
I understand that point, but I understand that
how
point.
How does she fly from here to there without them knowing?
But you got to blame the parents. But you got to blame that.
Parents
adult.
Are never charged in these cases for child endangerment.
No.
Yeah. Never
well,
charged.
Well, they have reasons and excuses. Yeah. They and don't all have.
Because they make the parents as like
excuses.
Victims.
I said excuses.
You know, man.
The parents are treated as victims. Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap up this episode.
I just got something I want to, before you wrap
okay,
up.
Okay, go ahead.
There's an interview that's coming up this week on Urban City TV to watch out. Your boy QPD going to be doing another interview. But he's going to go in on your boy Bootsy. Real hard.
Who is Boosie?
Boosie.
Little Boosie.
Little Boosie from Webby and Boosie from Baton Rouge.
So that's going to be interesting to see.
The country mother effer, well, as Reggie called him.
Well, I'm not going to watch no PPD shit. Urban I don't want to hear none of that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess PPD.
I wouldn't even promote it on this station.
I know. Yeah. I didn't really care to.
Y'all didn't. But
it's interesting to know that KFD is doing another interview, and it's not with Street TV, but that's cool. I was going to go to Vegas and interview him, but.
He'll probably still do it.
Yeah, he told me maybe. All right, that wraps up episode 25 of the Gangster Chronicles. Thank you for everyone listening. Please give us a rating if you're listening to us on Apple iTunes. And also, take a copy and paste this episode or copy and paste the show and share it with one other person. Don't forget to check Reggie Wright out on Bomb First. That's 7:30 on Tuesdays. And don't forget to check out James McDonald on his Instagram at BIGGJ3636 and also at 909-800-6404 and get one of those amazing t-shirts. He's got them available in other colors, I believe. And don't forget to check out my latest interviews on Street TV. And I'm also found on at AlexAlonzo101 on all platforms. And we are out.
And most importantly, subscribe to Digital Soap Bop.
Correct.
Network.
Digital Soapbox Network YouTube channel will be showing snippets of this show that you're listening to now. If you want to check out the interaction, check out some visuals, check out how mad James and Reggie be getting at each other.
All the time.
Digital Soapbox Network on YouTube. Thank you, y'all.
This is my last day as a temptation.
Peace.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.